This morning, I would like you to open your Bibles to the book of Philippians, chapter 1. Philippi, the city of Philippi, was a Roman colony. Just to give you a little background, the title of my message is Finding Joy in All of Life. Finding Joy in All of Life. Paul was in prison, but he had joy. So that would sum up the theme of my message, of our Bible study today. He's in bonds, but there's joy. Philippi was a city under Roman colony, governed by Roman rule. It's called in those days as Little Rome. In the midst of Greek culture, influence of Rome in Philippi. It was named after King Philip. That's why it's called Philippi. So you see how the influence of Rome and the city of Philippi. The church in Philippi was first founded by Paul. This was the first church he founded in Europe during his second missionary journey. There was great love link or connection between Paul and the Philippian believers. Not only believers, but even unbelievers, people of Philippi. There was great love between them. When the church of Philippi heard of Paul's arrests in Rome, they sent Epaphras, an elder of the church in Philippi, to bring some financial assistance to help Paul during his bondage in Rome, which later on, some church members had a little problem with Epaphras staying so long with Paul. They thought he'll never come back. We'll know it later on as we go in our Bible study. Epaphras stayed with Paul to minister to his needs. But he got sick. He became ill. In chapter 2 of Philippians, chapter 2, verse 27, we have just to go ahead with that, verse 27. For indeed, Paul said, for indeed he was sick, nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. And in verse 30, because for the work of the Christ he was nigh unto death, referring to Epaphras. Not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. When he became well, Paul sent Epaphras back. He doesn't want, this reminds me of Philemon, Onesimus. Paul would have Onesimus stay and be of service to him, to his needs, physical needs. But he said, I'd rather send him back without your knowledge. I didn't want to keep him. But I'm sending him back to you, not as a slave, but as a brother in the Lord. Receive him as you would receive me. What's the purpose of the letter? Five purposes of the letter of Paul. To explain his situation. By the way, this letter was brought by Epaphras. Back when he returned to Philippi, Paul wrote the letter and Epaphras hand carried it. There was no mail. He carried it to the believers in Philippi. First, to explain his situation to those who were concerned of him. They don't know exactly. By the way, the trip of Epaphras from Philippi to Rome was 1 month. That's how far, how long, during those days. 1 month. Trip. To explain to those who were concerned of him, his condition, Number two, to explain Epaphras' situation and defend him from his critics. There were many critics. Why Epaphras stayed so long? Why he stayed with Paul more than the number duration that I expected him to? Number three, to thank the church for their generous support through Epaphras, brought by Epaphras. Number four, to encourage them in their Christian life. And finally, number five, to encourage them to keep the unity of the faith. This word keep, he didn't tell them to establish unity or to organize, make unity in the church. No, there is unity. We have one Lord, one Spirit, one baptism. That's the unity of our Christian faith. So he said, keep that. Maintain it. Because in the church, there was a little problem there also. He said, keep that unity. You don't make the unity. It's already there. Maintain it. Keep the unity. There was a problem in the church there. In verse 15 and 16, you see, in chapter 1, verse 15 and 16, it says, the problem, concerning the problem of the church, some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, some also of goodwill. 16, the one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. So there was conflict. Instead of asking, do you know Christ as your Savior? Some would ask, to whom are you? To whom do you side? With Paul or with us? There was little division in the church. However, we'll notice that Paul was not bothered by those strife, but he said, whatever it is, Christ is preached. There's joy in Paul. Whatever. As Paul waited his trial in Rome, his mind was way back to the believers in Philippi. That brought him joy. There was joy. He could have think of what would happen to me, possible execution. I'm now in jail, in bonds. They might kill me, put me in prison for life. But yet, this brought him joy. In the book of Philippians, only four chapters, no less than 19 times, in these four chapters, Paul mentions either joy, rejoicing, or gladness. 19 times. The theme of Philippians is joy. Just three words, joy. It's paradoxical because in jail, in bonds, in prison, but there's joy. Unbelievers won't understand that. There's joy. Even in the midst of difficult circumstances. There is a difference between Paul was not happy about his condition, but there was joy. Happiness is different from joy, because happiness, I mentioned before, happiness depends on the happenings of the situation. When it's wholesome, good, you're happy. When it's not good, you're sad. But for Christians, for Paul and for Christians, whatever happens, either you're up or down, down in the mountain or in the valley, you might not be happy, but there is joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength, David would claim. A person whose happiness depends upon happenings, or favorable happenings, will be miserable most of the time. Why? Because not all the time happenings are good or wholesome. Paul was in prison, but yet he spoke of joy. Today, people think that joy comes from the things they own, real estate, property, expensive cars, whatever. There's nothing wrong with that. We Christians should covet the best for us. God wants to have the best for us, provided they are put in proper perspective. Because sometimes we want to possess things, and then those things possess us. That's wrong. We possess things, let's lord over those things. It's God that gave us those things, and we give glory to that, whatever we have. Nothing wrong with having fame or expensive things, position or it, provided that we put it in proper perspective. Christ is Lord of all, even of our properties. Paul had all the reasons to worry, because he was in bonds. He was in prison without a cause. It's okay if there was a cause. Without a cause and possible execution. But in spite of this, he did not worry. And you know, when Paul was in prison in bonds, he was chained to a soldier 24 hours a day, 6 hours per soldier, shift of 6 hours. And what do you think would happen? Would Paul not say anything about the Lord Jesus Christ? Because of his bonds, of his being chained to these soldiers received the gospel. Remember in Acts 16, when there was lightning, the soldiers thought, or the guards thought, that Paul and Silas were already out of prison or were able to escape. He would like to kill himself. He said, "Don't kill yourself. You are here." Soldier said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thine house." The record of Acts 16, the later verses, we see that the soldiers, the guards, invited Paul to their family, and their family got saved. Not because this guard, head of the family, was saved, but because through the influence, Paul was invited to their family. And through the testimony of his guard, the family was saved. "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, including your house." This is also the secret of developing spiritual joy. What's Paul's secret of developing spiritual joy? Number one, he had a singleness of mind. Chapter 1. In chapter 1, he had singleness of mind. James 1:8 says, "A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. He had that singleness of mind. Whatever the circumstance be, left or right, front or back, his mind is on Christ, focused on Christ. Somebody once said, when the pilot doesn't know where he is heading for, no wind is the right wind. Like chaff blown here and there. In chapter 1, Paul puts Christ first. In chapter 2, he puts others second. Meaning, he puts himself last. If we put ourselves first, there will be a problem in the church. If I think I'm the wisest man in church, if I think that I'm the most talented, that I'm the best, I'm the most eloquent, whatever, I create problem. Paul was not a prisoner of Rome, but he was a prisoner of Christ. He said, "Bonds of Christ. I am the bond of Christ." In Philemon chapter 1, verse 1, in Philemon 1, he said, "Paul and Timothy, servant of the Lord," rather, he said, "a prisoner of the Lord." Paul, a prisoner of the Lord. to Philemon, a dearly beloved servant of Christ. That's the only book that he said, servant of the, a prisoner of the Lord. He calls himself my bonds in Christ. His bonds was in Christ. He did not look at Christ through the circumstance of his being in bondage. Rather, he looked at the circumstance through Christ. That's the great difference. When we look at our problem per se, on the problem itself, we'll have a problem. But when you look at our problem through the Lord Jesus Christ, the problem may not be removed, might still be there, but it might become lighter. There will be joy, satisfaction in our heart. When you are single-minded, your circumstances works for you, not against you, as Paul had experienced in his life. Paul's secret, no worry, for to me to live is Christ. Christ above all. First, he had singleness of mind, Philippians chapter 1. And then secondly, the secret of Paul, he had that submissive mind. Chapter 2, we're trying to have a rough study, a course, brief study of Philippians, chapter 4 chapters. In chapter 2, he had that submissive mind. Chapter 2 focuses on people. Chapter 2, verse 3 says, let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. He was focusing on relationship with other people. Let us put yourself higher than other people. King James is quite difficult. He said, let each esteem other. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. A Christian with a submissive mind serves others, and he will discover joy. There's joy in serving others. If we put ourselves first, we create problem. That's the reason why there are so many problems in churches today. Because they assert themselves. They want to be first in church, in everything. The Bible says in Luke, he who exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. I remember I heard a message about pride, being proud. There can be pride in humility, right? I'm proud, I'm humble. I'm glad I'm humble. There's pride and humility. A good illustration of that was a dog. The master said, I have a very good dog, very obedient dog, German Shepherd. He follows my command. He said, April, the name is April, play dead. The dog laid dead, but the tail is wagging. See, I can play dead. The tail is wagging, he's proud that he can play dead. Jesus set the example of humility in chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but took upon him the form of a servant and became in likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself unto death, even the death of the cross. First, he had a single mind. Number two, he had submissive mind. Number three, Paul had a spiritual mind. Chapter 3. He had a spiritual mind. That's the secret of having joy in spite of diverse or difficult circumstances. Most people mind earthly things. In chapter 3, verse 19 says, For many walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. 19, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Many people mind earthly things. But spiritually minded believers are concerned about heavenly things. In chapter 3, verse 20, he said, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." The word conversation there, I look at in the margin of my Bible, conversation actually means in the original as citizenship. For our citizenship is in heaven, whence we look for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The only way to victory is and joy is to have that spiritual mind and to look at things from God's point of view. We cannot do it unless we look at it from God's point of view. Spiritual mind. Aside from the spiritual mind, submissive mind, and the spiritual mind, singleness of mind, the fourth, which is in chapter 4, Paul had a secured mind. His mind was secured. A mind that looks on God's peace, God's power, and God's provision. He was secured. God's peace in him. That's why he had joy. He had God's power. He looked upon God's power. And he looked upon God's provision. Verse 7 of chapter 4. Let me read. "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." The peace of God, which cannot be fathomed, we cannot understand it. They'll keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. In a contemporary English version, this verse says, "Then, because you belong to Jesus Christ, God will bless you with the peace that no one can completely understand. And this peace will control the way you think and feel." One who honestly say in his heart, "On Christ, the solid rock," or can sing that song, "It's on Christ, the solid rock I stand," will have that secured mind based on his trust and faith and confidence in his Savior. The book of Philippians tells us how to live a life of Christian joy in spite of adverse circumstances. We have problems. It doesn't mean that we become Christians. There will be no more problem. I know of an actor in the Philippines. They call him a singer, an actor. During those days, they call him the Elvis Presley of the Philippines. When he got saved, he said, "I have more problems than I had before, because I don't know who my real wife is." He had several wives. And I'd like to be straight. I said, I have more problems now about my past. And so, but that God's grace was there. How can we put this practice into practice? The joy that Paul experienced and sharing it with the Philippian believers. First, we have to be sure that we are a Christian. Nobody who is out of Christ can experience the real joy that passeth understanding. You cannot have a single mind or a submissive mind, and a spiritual mind, and even a secured mind, unless you have Jesus Christ in your life. Secondly, admit your failures. If you confess our sins, He is faithful and just. Joy will fill our hearts. Don't you know that 1 John 1:9 was not written for unbelievers? If we confess our sins, He will forgive us. He's faithful and just to forgive us. It was not for unbelievers. Look at the context. Read it from top previous verses. It was written for believers. Therefore, it shows that Christians are also liable to sin. They can commit sin, mistakes. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive. Therefore, admit our failures. Otherwise, we won't confess it. If we confess our sins, you will. First, and then being Christian does not make you perfect. God is not done with us yet. Where still, there's a song that God is not done with me. Have you seen that tombstone of Ruth Graham, the wife of Billy Graham? In her tombstone, the grave, end of construction. Ruth was born in China, missionary parents, and her experience, there was construction on the road, rough, rugged, but then at the end says, end of construction. He got that idea. That's why he said, when he dies, he would like that printed in her tombstone, Ruth Graham. End of construction. We're still under construction now. God is not done with us. Admit our failures. Confess it to Him. That's one of the secrets of joy. Thirdly, surrender your mind to Christ daily. Easier said than done. I cannot do it. Really, really good. Surrender your mind to Christ daily. If you're losing your joy, maybe you're having a double-minded mind. Maybe not only double-minded, but idle mind. Somebody said, an idle mind is the devil's workshop. Let's put our mind to work by learning and living together. Learning God's word and living together as believers in the Lord. God will give you the grace as you practice the right kind of attitude and find joy. What really is the singleness of mind that Paul experienced and taught? It is the attitude that says, it makes no difference whatever happens to me. Just as long as Christ is glorified and the gospel is preached. It's all about you, Jesus. There's a song. It's all about you, Jesus. Philippians 1:21, that's the key verse for chapter 1. For to me to live is Christ, Paul said, and to die is gain. In Philippi, Paul was illegally arrested, beaten, and bound. That could have produced sorrow for Paul. Very sad experience. But that brought him joy because the jailer found Christ. He would not have a contact with that jailer if he had been put in jail. Joy can be attained only if we recognize Jesus as the Lord of our life. In closing, I have a hymn. Maybe I should lead that song, Jim, the closing song. This closing song is an integral part of my message. We can have that joy if we take the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lord of our life.